Namaste, babies.
I love that you said namaste, because that actually is in my story today. Oh my God, oh my God. Welcome to Sticky Pickles. Found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Maria.
And I'm Carol, and this is season 7, episode 4 of Sticky Pickles, Cranky Crystals, and boo, it's Oprah. All right.
Is this a Halloween-y one that you're doing?
Yes, Yay! Baby.
Oh, I love that.
Because it is Halloween coming up. Okay. Now, before we start, I just have a little announcement. Do you mind, Maria?
Self-promo? Oh, go for it, girl. You know, I'm all about it.
I have just started a brand new podcast. Listeners of Smashing Security will have heard about it on the show.
You're not cheating on me, are you?
No. Well, I have. Well, maybe.
A little. You know. A little. Yeah, it's okay.
What is it called when you have like 3 co-hosty jobs?
A thruple?
I don't know what it is.
You're a triple threat.
Yeah, triple threat. Anyway, so I have a new co-host called Sally Ann Stewart, who's an amazing artist in Oxford. And we are interviewing Oxford artists about what they do and all the stuff that makes it hard to do what they do.
Ooh.
And it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of it. And it's fun. And you can find it at Art Musings, wherever you get your podcasts, or you can just go to the website, artmusings.co.uk, and you'll find everything. And we can get on with the show. Thank you very much for the promo time.
Yay.
Now, Maria, you are opening. So what is Cranky Crystals?
Cranky Crystals. Okay, so for my story, I want you to meet Andrew and Janice. Andrew and Janice are a lovely young couple. They both grew up in Hong Kong, and as many Hong Kongers are, they speak a whole bunch of languages, English and Cantonese being the two of their strongest of the many languages that they speak. When they talk to each other at home, it tends to be in Cantonese.
Right.
And they have moved to a quiet, very rural-ish California suburb. It's not Southern California or Bay Area California. It's more like the bits in between California where there's just not a lot of, how shall we put it politely, racial diversity. A lot of people are
more monoculture-y.
Perhaps. Very monoculture, yeah. So in most parts of California that people are familiar with, somebody speaking Cantonese, nobody would bat an eye.
Right.
But there are other parts that are very rural where people are like, what is that? So just keep that in mind when I'm saying that this is in California.
I mean, sure. Places out in the middle of nowhere get a lot less immigration, right? So there's a lot less experience of how other cultures live, I imagine.
Yeah, I think exactly. Little village, little town, not very sophisticated way of the worldy, and not a lot of exposure in this case to non-American English, and as well as non-American English, non-American English accent. It's always kind of hard to be like, they're speaking American, but they're speaking English with an American accent. So Andrew and Janice are from a very sophisticated, very worldly city. So Hong Kong's amazing. And they speak a gajillion languages, and they've moved to kind of the podunk, where people like, we speak American, and not in a mean way, just like they just don't have a lot of exposure to the world. And they've moved into an apartment complex. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a building where it's shared with a lot of other people that has balconies, which is actually weirdly unusual in America, like to have balconies at the apartment, which
sucks. If ever I have to live in
people don't believe me when I say that, but a lot of American apartments don't have balconies. It's just
lots of English ones don't either, and it sucks. It's fine. I think living in an apartment is a really smart, you know, eco way to live.
Indeed,
but if you don't even have a tiny bit of outdoor space, it just sucks.
Yeah, and they're a nice place to, like, if you have laundry to hang up to dry, or you just want to like breathe fresh air.
Yes.
Just have a little space to have a little chair out there. So they got lucky. Theirs does have a little balcony in it, and it can fit 2 chairs and a tiny table so they can, you know, sit out there and chit chat. And their neighbor in the unit next to them, her name is Meadow.
Meadow.
Meadow. And Meadow is a native to the area of California in the sense that she's from there. She grew up there. That's her town. She's lived there all her life. She's probably
born and bred.
Yeah. She's probably in her 70s. She is a very, very California native, like, just lean into all the stereotypes you've got of Californians. I'm sorry, California listeners. And when Andrew and Janice move into their apartment, Meadow kind of tries to be like friendly, but she's a little bit like, yeah, I can't quite figure them out. So I'm going to give them their space. And so she'll just, you know, sit on her balcony and burn her sage and maybe, you know, meditate loudly for Andrew and Janice to hear in the hopes that maybe they'll be intrigued and be like, hey, neighbor, let's get to know you.
Okay.
But that's not quite what ends up happening. Andrew and Janice, because, you know, they're from a big city. They do what everybody from big cities does. And they ignore their neighbor because that's called being polite.
I love that you put, I love that you said does there. That was really
good. Did I just grammatically?
No. I think you did totally right. And it was pretty cool.
I was thinking about it as my grammar gears were going, wait a second, subject, verb, object, agreement.
Singular, plural, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh my God. You're going to edit this later. So Andrew and Janice do what is the polite thing in a city, and they ignore their neighbor to give her her space. And Meadow's kind of like, oh, all right. And Andrew and Janice will often sit on their new balcony in their new neighborhood, and they will talk to each other like a young couple often will, just chit-chatting.
Yep.
Now, I mentioned that they speak Cantonese to each other, and Meadow has never heard Cantonese spoken in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And if any of our listeners are not familiar with how Cantonese sounds to like an uneducated American ear, I will enlighten you that a lot of people go, that sounds very angry. It sounds very, very angry to an American ear who does not understand how Cantonese works. I'm not gonna.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing though how different languages have completely different cadences? And mm-hmm. I speak French. I'm a completely different person, I think, when I speak French than when I speak English.
Oh, 100%.
Like, I really think my character is different because the way I speak is more tentative because I'm not as familiar, whatever, I'm slower. 100%. And so people are always like, oh, you're so cute.
Yeah, I speak kindergartner Greek for the same reason. I'm very unsure of myself, so I'm always like...
Yeah, exactly.
And I have experience with this because my family spoke Greek when I was growing up, and that is another language that sounds very angry to people who aren't familiar with it. It's just people always sound like they're pissed and yelling at each other, and it's like, no, that's just how we talk. With Cantonese, because there are a lot of tones, for people who don't know how it works, especially if you have very little exposure to languages other than like American English, people just go, whoa, what's going on? Are you guys okay? And there's a little bit of that going on with Meadow because she's, you know, sitting on her balcony, observing her crystals, you know, watching how the light streams through them. And she's like, what is happening in my neighbor's apartment? Are they okay? Because they sound really, really angry. And that is just, I don't want those bad vibes in my life. That's going to float over the partition and it's going to make badness happen mm-hmm. here. I don't want that.
So she's sensing a bad vibe.
She's getting major bad vibes. And she's like, this is just a lot of anger and I'm not comfortable with this.
Right.
So she does the thing that many people maybe in her situation might do, or she's like, they're not just angry, but I think somebody's in danger. So she knocks on their door.
It's not illegal.
Yeah. No, I know. But this is like, she's nervous because she hasn't really talked to them yet. And just Janice shows up.
Okay.
To the door. And, you know, Janice is like, hello, can I help you? And Meadow's like, you know, I'm your next door neighbor. I was astral projecting on my balcony and the Zen vibes got totally off by the sounds coming from your direction. And I'm just kind of sensing that the energy is just out of alignment. And Janice just looks at her sideways and is like, You know, she's thinking to herself, I speak fluent English and I have no fucking idea what this lady just said.
I think this is where you kind of just grab a yoga pose, like maybe a tree.
Tree pose.
Or something and start humming. Do a tree pose and go, oh. And then maybe, you know, Meadow will just go, oh, I get it.
Janice should just reach out to Meadow's sacrum and be like.
Well, I don't know. Is that dirty?
It's very intimate, is it not? And Janice is like, I can assure you everything is fine. And she just quickly closes the door. Janice goes back and talks to Andrew and she's like, you know, I think our neighbor is a little freaked out by us. I don't want any trouble. As much as it sucks, why don't we just talk inside for now? Because I don't know what's going on. And the next day, there's a knock on Meadow's door. And it's Janice. It's Janice holding a bottle of wine. And Janice is saying, you know, I just wanted to properly introduce myself since we kind of met yesterday. I just wanted to offer this bottle of wine as like a hello. And, you know, Andrew and I are very sorry about the noise, and we'll be more considerate of, you know, our volume when we're sitting outside from now on. We don't want any tension between us and, you know, as our neighbors. And Meadow goes, oh, wow, I'm very organic and high vibration right now, and I like to let my chakras flow so freely so I can, like, soak up the cosmic rhythms and natural blessings from Mother Gaia. One love. And then Meadow, without taking the bottle of wine, closes the door. You were Janice. You just came over to Meadow with a peace offering, and your peace offering was... rejected. You're not really sure why.
I totally know what I would do. I feel I have a neighbor who fits this description fairly closely.
Oh, for real?
In that they come from California. They are in their 70s. They are pretty cool and with it and got all this stuff going on. I adore her. I adore her. Good neighbors is like so important. So I just think, don't be offended, Janice. Just say, cool, we've got like someone who's really got the vibes and is going to tell us when the chakras are misaligned.
This is true. But is it weird, though, that Meadow didn't even like say thank you or like accept the bottle of wine, that she literally just said a bunch of words that have no real meaning and closed the door?
I think we got the measure, right? She's on a different plane, man. She's more enlightened. And you just got to go with that and love that you live.
You are so much more aligned with Meadow than I thought you would be. And I'm actually really loving this. Is like, Carole is actually Meadow.
She sounds like she's crazy, but she's actually
damn, girl. She's actually super chill. I haven't even mentioned ganja. In this case, there's no ganja involved that we know of at this point. A couple weeks fast forward, and Meadow's in her apartment one evening, and normally she doesn't hear anything from Andrew and Janice's apartment. Today, this evening, she's hearing shouting and crashing, loud thumps. And this is, none of it's rhythmic, it's not sexual, it's like, it's not sex happening, it's not like, oh yeah, they're getting frisky. It sounds like an emergency, like something really bad is happening. She runs out the door to knock. But as she runs out her door, she trips over the bottle of wine that Janice had previously offered and put at the bottom of Meadow's door. And there's a little bow on it.
Did she break her ankle?
No, she dings herself pretty bad. She gets up, but she's more just like, oh, there's a bottle there. Why is that there? Oh, man. And then Meadow goes over the door and knocks. No response. And she's still hearing these noises. And they sound scary. So she does what any, I think, woman of her age would do. She calls the cops.
Calls the cops.
She calls the popo. And she's on, you know, 911. What's your emergency? And Meadow replies, I'm a mindful living practitioner and I can't achieve inner peace this way because there's all sorts of like really scary stuff happening and you all need to come right away. I think they need help. Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste. And the noises are continuing and she keeps knocking, but like nobody's answering. The cops come pretty darn fast, and they actually end up bursting down the door because they're hearing the sounds too, and they're like, something's going on. And they open the door, and they see Janice on the floor, rubbing her hip, shards of porcelain everywhere around her. What do you think's going on?
What? She's, okay, so whoa. So Janice is lying on the floor, there's shards of porcelain everywhere, like haphazardly or like organizedly?
In betweenly?
Like, does it look like there's a ritual going on, or does it look like someone has fallen and hurt themselves?
It's somewhere in between.
Okay, I go, what's going on? I'd be like, what's going on? Are you okay, Janice? That would be my first thing. Janice, are you okay? Are you okay?
Oh, okay. So here's what Meadow does. She does not do that. Meadow does the opposite of that. She jumps to massive conclusions and she starts just bitching out to the cops. See, I told you, they gave me wine when I'm sober. They know that that's not cool, man. And now they're like doing all this stuff. Like, we don't do that here. I don't know what they think when they're from, but like, we don't hit each other in this country. That's not cool. And Janice and Andrew are like, whoa, wait a second. We're having a dinner party tonight. We invited you, hence the bottle of wine. Janice has been trying to get one of the fine platters down from the top of the shelf, and she has fallen like three times because these ceilings are freaking high.
She's fallen three times? And what have you been doing, husband?
Like, oh, yeah, he's just been standing there like a very useful person.
I'm on my lawn chair on the balcony.
He's shouting at her going, what are you doing?
Cantonese styly. Yeah.
No, like, he's been trying to help her, but like, they fall over because these ceilings are crazy high. Has this never happened to you? Because this has happened to me like a whole bunch of times.
Fallen over, like onto the ground?
I'm very short, so this happens to me a lot.
No, I think
you're not buying it at all.
I have very long feet, so I think that I am very good at keeping my balance. Actually, I think I owe it down to my very big feet. That's why I don't fall over.
That's the reason. Oh my goodness. That's the reason.
Wow.
Don't know if it was as funny as it was in my head, but
I don't know if mine is as funny as the one I thought in my head. So let's see.
Maybe it's just something to chew on. Maybe not a ha-ha, but maybe a Okay. Sticky pickles. We don't always make you laugh, but sometimes we make you smile. I make myself laugh. All right, Curl. Boo, it's Oprah.
Okay, this may be a little silly. Okay.
You get a podcast. And you get a podcast. Okay. I hope it's silly. I need some silly.
Okay. My job is to make you laugh, Maria. Okay? So it's Shauna's birthday. It's the 31st of October when it's Shauna's birthday. It's Halloween Day.
What a coincidence.
Quinky dink.
Quinky
right?
dink.
And she is turning 65 years young, and she and her man of 40 years, Mr. Pete, father of her two young adult kids, they're going to do what they always do on her birthday, which is celebrate at the cottage.
The cottage.
This is a quirky little cottage. Like, it's quirky because, it's normal in that it's on the side of a lake, trees, big deck. And it was left in a will.
What did you call me?
And it was left to her in a will by a distant aunt or aunt. And like, all the furniture was left in the cottage when she took ownership, right? Like, so old wind chimes and Adirondack chairs and lobster traps and hammocks, snowshoes, all that stuff's hanging on the wall. And her favorite thing is this carved wooden bedhead, right? Like, a tangle of antlers makes this kind of cool bedhead. And, you know, to many people, maybe to you, Maria, it feels a little creepy, right? But for Sean and Pete, it's paradise because it's quiet, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Shauna kind of loves this stuff too because, you know, she's born on Halloween night and, you know, she's always celebrated with a bit of haunty hauntness. So this is her thing.
Haunty hauntness. Haughty hotness.
So basically the way it works is they go to this cottage twice a year, once for his birthday where she does all the prep for his stuff, and once on her birthday where he does all the prep for her stuff. And always on her birthday is a Halloween party where every year he comes up with a crazy theme. Everyone dresses up, kids, partners, their kids, grandparents, everyone comes down.
Love those kinds of parties. Yes. Love them.
Super great. All right. So as is tradition, you know, Pete goes down a few days early while she preps stuff at home, right? So she does the family favorites, like for the Halloween party, like pre-cooking the eyeball chili, which is like white onions with cloves stuck in them, right?
Nice.
And all this kind of cool stuff. But she's way ahead of schedule. And she gets this idea to go down a day early.
Oh,
Right? Because A, to surprise him, she's never done this before, mainly because of the kids and her job, but she's now free as a bird, having just retired. And maybe she should use this to her advantage. So she packs the car, showers, tweezers, all the bits she needs to tweeze, pouts, and puts on her sexy new lingerie and a wraparound dress.
Wow, honey. All right.
She gets to the cottage. She turns down the engine, right? Because, to roll down the hill to the cottage, lights off, because it wouldn't be a surprise if you heard her come down the drive. And she needn't have worried because the Motown music is blaring. This is his favorite. And she sees the fires crackling away. He's already cut up all the wood, right? All the wood's all stacked. And she smirks and she gets into her handbag and she pulls out her mask. Oprah Winfrey. Hence the wraparound dress, because Oprah loves a wraparound, and Oprah is Pete's secret fantasy he told her years ago but will not remember.
Oh, yes, the Diane von Furstenberg wraparound dress, right? The one that makes every middle-aged lady look all snatched and cinched and definitely not wearing shapewear. Okay, yep.
Can I tell you, I have one in black, and it serves me for every single funeral I have to go to. So I'm not kidding. Wraparound black dress, no matter what size you are, whether you get pregnant, whether you're not, whether you ate too much, whether you lost too much weight because you're sick, or you just dieted, doesn't matter. It works. So just saying.
That's a fashion tip for all our listeners who are definitely...
Fashion tip. Well,
that is what they listen to Sticky Pickles for, is fashion advice.
yeah. Anyway, so Oprah Winfrey, aka Shauna, tiptoes to go find Pete.
Okay.
Right? And she finds him right away when she turns into the bedroom, dimly lit because the bedroom light's on. Music's blaring. And there he is in his tidy whities on the bed, but facing away, facing the antlers. And that's when Shauna realizes, she notices he's astride something. Not something, but someone.
Oh.
And he's talking to her, going, I got you. Hold tight. So, Maria, step one, what do you do now?
I have no idea. Just sit there and wait. I genuinely don't know what I would do in this situation. This is, I can't even imagine being in this situation.
So you're in shock. You're probably in shock. You're in shock.
I'm in shock, but I'm also kind of I mean, I'm not alarmed. I don't think anybody's in danger, right?
Yeah, it's just not good. Not what you were expecting.
Not what I was expecting. I could just strike a pose. That tends to be what I do. In the fight, flight, freeze, fawn.
Do you strike a pose?
I would literally just sort of strike a jaunty pose and be like, I have no idea what to do next. I'm just going to stand here and wait and see what happens next.
Oh, my God. I'd love to have that. I think I go into shock in these situations, literally. So I kind of freeze and don't move, but I won't be in a cute strike pose. I'll be in a jaw dropping, what the fuck is happening right now? And I don't get out of it really easily.
Well, the pose thing, I'll tell you why I sometimes do that, because it sort of gives me the sense that I have control in the situation, even though I usually don't. So it's I'm so in control in the situation that I can afford emotionally, mentally to sort of distance myself from it and be like, oh, this is amusing.
I am fucking channeling you next time this happens to me, and I'm fucking popping out one hip and standing there
Stand there a little bit akimbo, oh, okay.
Hello.
What's all this then? yeah. Try that.
so Shauna, she can't move or speak. She's in deer in the headlights, but she's got this hot rage right inside. Cause how it's the bed, it's her antler bed, right? And the mattress, they're in their fucking bed. This is where their youngest was conceived, right?
TMI.
So Pete, he's back to her. He hasn't seen her yet. She's not said anything. He's singing away along the music, even gyrating in time. It's too much. It's too much. So Shauna, without saying a word, walks towards them, grabs the bottom of the mattress and yanks it with all her might. Right? So Girly and Pete topple towards the spiky headboard thing. Right? And she's got superhuman adrenaline strength. She hauls the queen size mattress thing wordlessly, never looking back at the Motown cheaters, heads towards the deck and hurls the mattress over the railing onto the grass below.
Shit! That's not easy to do.
That is not easy to do, but she does it without even blinking.
I would pull so many muscles.
That is not easy to do, but she does it without even blinking. And fucking Motown is still blaring. The little love chicka chicka music's playing, so she goes in and turns it off. And that's when she hears her panicked Pete husband on the phone saying, Oprah Winfrey's just broken into my house and literally stolen my mattress. I have a gash in my forehead and everything. No, this is not a prank. Oprah Winfrey has
literally stolen my mattress. It's literally her.
So this is your take two. What do you do now? Okay. He's on the phone whining. The police obviously think he's making a prank call because it's Halloween.
Yeah. Sir, how much marijuana have you ingested in those brownies this evening? Do you have any sense? 5 milligrams? 50 milligrams? It's okay. We'll give you some activated charcoal. You'll be all right and on your way. I'm sure it was Oprah Winfrey. Yes, sir. Yes, I'm sure it was.
So what do you do? Do you go and do you take your mask off? You're Oprah, okay? You're Shauna.
No, I think it's better to keep it on. Just fucking rage as Oprah. Just channel all of that. I am an amazing interviewer, and I have a great way of connecting people through empathy through a TV screen, and I am a fucking beast mode mother fucking badass bitch right now.
Don't mess with me.
Don't fuck with Oprah. How many times have people had to learn that one? I remember well in the 90s, people would fuck with Oprah and they would regret it every time.
You could leave and not say a word.
You could, but it's funnier if you don't.
Show up the day that you're supposed to, the next day, and he'd be like, hey, I decided to get us a new mattress. Happy birthday.
I think pro tip for life, just rage as Oprah all the time. Like, you got to park a ticket, rage. Yeah, just because she's a billionaire. Nobody can bother her now anyway. So just rage as Oprah. I'm sure she can handle the extra.
Oh, Maria, that's it for Sticky Pickles. We made you smile. You know what to do. Listen again. Actually, that's all you need to do.
Patreon.com/Sticky Pickles is our tip jar if you like what we're doing. We appreciate you very much. And you can always get in touch with us just on Instagram at Sticky Pickles Pod or hashtag Sticky Pickles if you're on the Fediverse. And anything else you can find on stickypickles.com.
That's it. See you in a few weeks.
Oh, bye bye.
Oprah Winfrey.